Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Virtue Hoarders, The Case Against the Professional Managerial Class by Catherine Liu, is a provocative political and cultural critique of the educated elite often described as the professional managerial class. Framed as an argument about power rather than personal morality, the book examines how progressive rhetoric, credentialism, and status signals can function as tools of social control and class reproduction. Liu challenges the idea that the main obstacles to equality are individual bias or insufficient awareness, and instead focuses on how institutions, workplaces, and cultural gatekeeping protect the advantages of well-positioned professionals. The book connects campus politics, nonprofit culture, media norms, and corporate diversity, talk to broader patterns of inequality and weakened working-class solidarity. Written to be accessible to general readers while drawing on left political traditions, it invites debate about what counts as real redistribution and who benefits from contemporary forms of moralized politics. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, defining the professional managerial class and its interests. A central task of the book is to clarify what people mean by the professional managerial class and why it matters politically. Rather than treating the PMC as simply educated workers, the argument emphasizes their distinctive role as managers, administrators, credentialed experts, and cultural intermediaries who translate policy, supervise labor, and shape institutional norms. Their power often comes less from owning capital and more from controlling access to jobs, language, and legitimacy through degrees, professional standards, and networks. This positioning can align them with corporate and institutional stability even when they identify as progressive. The book explores how career incentives encourage risk avoidance and reputational management, rewarding those who demonstrate the right attitudes and punish those who disrupt organizational harmony. In this view, the PMC becomes a class with coherent interests in maintaining scarcity around elite education and professional status. By describing how these interests show up in workplaces, public discourse, and policy preferences, the book sets up its broader claim that moral language and cultural fluency can conceal material self-protection. Secondly, virtue as status, moral signaling, and class reproduction. The title concept of virtue hoarding refers to the way moral language can become a scarce resource that signals belonging to a refined social group. The book argues that what looks like ethical commitment can also operate as a badge of cultural capital, separating the enlightened from the supposedly backward. This dynamic appears in how people frame everyday consumption, lifestyle choices, reading habits, and political expressions as proof of worthiness. When virtue becomes a competitive asset, it can be accumulated and displayed, with those already advantaged best positioned to learn the right vocabulary and adopt approved tastes. The book connects this to class reproduction by showing how families and institutions teach young professionals the codes of respectable speech and the anxieties of social falling. The result is a politics that often focuses on interpersonal correction and symbolic performances rather than redistribution. It can also lead to punitive environments where missteps are treated as moral failures rather than opportunities for persuasion or coalition building. The critique is not that ethics are unimportant, but that virtue talk can substitute for structural change while reinforcing hierarchy. Thirdly, identity management versus material politics. Another major theme is the tension between politics organized around recognition and politics organized around material interests. The book argues that elite institutions increasingly root conflict into identity management practices that are legible to professional norms, such as trainings, statements, and human resources frameworks. These approaches can produce real improvements in workplace treatment, yet the critique is that they frequently leave economic power untouched. When moral attention concentrates on language, representation, and individual attitudes, it can sideline issues like wages, housing costs, healthcare, and labor power. The book suggests that this shift benefits institutions because it offers controllable reforms that do not challenge budget priorities or ownership structures. It also benefits career-minded professionals who can specialize in administering these programs. The argument highlights how an emphasis on symbolic inclusion may coexist with austerity, privatization, and rising inequality. By tracing how moralized discourse becomes the preferred currency of legitimacy, the book presses readers to ask which political demands actually redistribute resources and which mainly redistribute recognition. The broader implication is that building durable solidarity requires centering shared material needs while resisting elite incentives to fragment collective action. Fourthly, institutions that reward compliance, universities, nonprofits, and media, the book pays attention to institutions where the PMC culture is produced and reinforced, particularly universities, nonprofits, and media ecosystems. Universities act as credential factories and ideological sorting mechanisms, teaching students both specialized knowledge and the social norms of professional life. Nonprofits can channel activism into grant-dependent structures, professionalizing social movements and prioritizing metrics, branding, and donor-friendly messaging. Media and cultural institutions then amplify certain narratives while treating others as illegitimate or uncouth, shaping what counts as reasonable politics. Across these spaces, the book argues, the same pattern emerges: virtue signaling and rule following are rewarded, while class-based conflict and direct demands for redistribution are often softened into safer forms. The critique also addresses how these institutions can speak the language of justice while operating through precarious labor, adjunctification, internships, and low wages for support staff. By mapping these contradictions, the book aims to show that cultural progressivism can coexist with workplace stratification. The result is an elite moral culture that appears radical in style but conservative in its protection of institutional prestige and professional career paths. Lastly, Towards Solidarity, Rebuilding a Politics Beyond Elite Moralism, the final thrust of the argument is constructive. If virtue hoarding and professional gatekeeping weaken solidarity, what would a better left politics look like? The book points toward organizing that prioritizes shared material demands and broad coalitions rather than purity tests. It suggests that movements are stronger when they treat disagreement as inevitable and focus on negotiating common interests, especially around labor rights, public goods, and universal programs. The critique implies that redistributive policies reduce vulnerability in ways that moral signaling cannot, because they change the baseline conditions of life for large numbers of people. It also calls attention to how language policing and reputational takedowns can discourage participation from those who lack cultural fluency or fear humiliation. A more effective politics would make room for imperfect allies while holding institutions accountable through collective pressure rather than individual shaming. The book encourages readers to scrutinize whether their political actions change power relations or mainly affirm identity and status. By shifting the focus back to class power, it argues, the left can challenge both corporate dominance and the professional class habits that unintentionally help preserve the existing order. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers interested in left politics, class analysis, higher education culture, and the way public morality intersects with power. It will resonate with working and middle-class readers who feel talked down to by elite institutions, as well as with professionals who want an honest assessment of how their own environments reward conformity and symbolic righteousness. The practical benefit is a sharpened ability to distinguish between changes that improve reputations and changes that improve reputations and changes that improve lives, especially around wages, public services, and labor strength. By focusing on incentives, institutions, and class position, the book helps readers evaluate political debates without getting trapped in performative outrage cycles. Compared with similar critiques of contemporary liberal culture, Virtue Hoarders stands out for its insistence that the central issue is not personal hypocrisy, but structural class interest and institutional self-preservation. It pushes beyond culture war framing by connecting moral discourse to credential systems and professional gatekeeping, making its argument useful for anyone trying to build broader coalitions. If you want a challenging conversation-starting critique that reorients attention toward redistribution and solidarity, this book offers a compact but forceful case worth buying. If you would like to support Catherine Liu, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.